Hey everyone, and welcome to Unconventional Wellness Radio, a powerful and inspiring podcast set to revolutionize and disrupt healthcare. It's time to put you in the driver's seat and be the force of change necessary for the lifestyle you've always wanted. All right, hello everybody, and I'm going to kind of act a little bit like a fanboy here because I've got Dr. Jack Wolfson, who is the author of The Paleocardiologist, on today's podcast with us. And I am actually really excited. And like I said, I'm going to try not to fanboy out because a lot of the information that Dr. Wolfson put inside of his book is great because I've read quite a bit of paleo books and things like that. But quite honestly, you know, being the cardiologist, board certified cardiologist that Dr. Wolfson is, it's fantastic to see all of the research that has been going on, all of the science-based evidence or evidence-based medicine that you want to call it, to actually finally be used to show that there are particular gaps in our nutrition or a lot of the different philosophies that we've ever had about nutrition are in fact not necessarily true. And so like a lot of these studies and things like that were great to dive into and find some really great insight. And Dr. Wolfson portrayed it in a very matter-of-fact way. And that's another thing that I love is his personality and very matter-of-fact, clear-cut way of describing everything. So without further ado, I've got Dr. Jack Wolfson, the paleocardiologist, on the call with me. And what I wanted to do, if that was okay, Dr. Wolfson, is, of course, we want to get to know you. You know, we understand all the fine work that's going on and all the things that you've been up to, but I was completely transformed, if you will, with your story about even when you married your wife. If you wouldn't mind, can we start there? And we'll just kind of take this call from there, if that sounds okay with you.
Yeah, sure thing, Frank. And I appreciate you having me on today, and I appreciate you getting me out to your tribe and your people. That are really interested in taking the world by storm, that are really making a difference in taking their health into their own hands. So we're here to change our health. We're here to save the world. And that's how, you know, we get this information out. But this is all kind of foreign to me circa 2004 when I met my wife. I'm a board certified cardiologist. I went through 4 years of medical school, 4 years of internal medicine, 3 years of cardiology. And then I'm a couple years on the job and I'm dealing with the sickest of the sick in the hospitals. And, you know, there's just so much sickness around and people aren't getting any better and the hospital's a revolving door and all the doctors are miserable. You know, the patients come in, they go out, they come back in. And all the doctors are just so overworked and it's just surrounded by sickness. Mm-hmm. And then I meet the woman who would change all that. And she starts telling me all these different things about how the pharmaceuticals are killing people. They're not helping anybody. The procedures that we're doing are worthless and dangerous. And I'm practicing in the wrong model, in the wrong healthcare system. And it's actually sick care. It's not about health. And I have to learn to be a doctor of cause and about finding why people have these problems. And Frank, she's telling me all this stuff on our first date. I was just like, I mean, she's like, you know, Lipitor is killing people, aspirin's worthless, all these things. But I saw the sickness at that time in my father, who would eventually pass away at the age of 63. And I talk about that, of course, in my book. And I saw the sickness around me. I saw my father. And then here comes this young chiropractor to open up my eyes to reality. And it's been nonstop ever since, just trying to change myself, change my practice, change my patients, and change the world. And here I am on with you.
Perfect. Well, if you don't mind, I love the anecdote that you tell us of how you were at your wedding. And, you know, I don't want to steal your thunder and describe it. I'd love for to hear, you know, directly from you. But I love that story. If you wouldn't mind, let's share that with our listeners about sort of like what happened when you guys, I believe, were at your reception. Is that correct?
Yeah, no, Frank, this is a fantastic story. And when I speak, you know, all over the world, and a lot of times I speak to audiences where their majority are chiropractors, and they love this story because, and for me, it was very impactful as well. But as you said, we're at the cocktail reception, beautiful night out in Arizona, and all of a sudden someone comes running up, Grandpa David passed out. So we go running over to Grandpa David. And Grandpa David's laying in the grass, and I'm a cardiologist, so I get down on the ground, and I see that he's breathing, and I check a pulse, and he's got a pulse, but it's slow and thready. So it seems like he probably had a common faint. I've seen a thousand people faint in front of my eyes as a cardiologist doing a procedure called a tilt table test. Well, anyway, so what am I going to do? I'm going to call, 911. I mean, what am I going to do for this old man as a cardiologist? Well, as I'm deciding whether or not we're going to call 911, Dr. Heather, in her wedding dress, is on the grass at his cervical spine. And within an instant, or really a thought, just pure instinct and training and what she's had, just grabs his cervical spine, his neck, and just goes bang and adjusts him. And with that, his first chiropractic adjustment in 86 years, he wakes up, he's sitting back up shortly thereafterwards, and then soon after, he's back at the wedding. And that is the power of what chiropractic can do to turn the lights back on in any of us. So chiropractic is a huge part of my practice. Everybody in my practice has to be under chiropractic care because that's where the best success is.
Awesome, awesome. Yeah, and I love I'm not going to take away from the book, guys. Go out and go get the book. Like I said, it's life-changing. But what I loved is how he looked at her, like he describes his wife as swooping in like a superhero, still wearing her wedding dress, and she proceeds to manipulate his cervical spine, and he's actually responsive. And then he also describes that, these folks are all around him, and a lot of his friends are colleagues. So they're all board-certified cardiologists and other practicing physicians in different disciplines. And so just everybody's kind of sitting around just going, what do we do? You know, and then all of a sudden his wife just kind of swoops in and takes charge and takes the show.
Yeah, I ask the women to visualize that too. Like, can you imagine that you're in your wedding dress that cost you all that money, and it's like your most prized thing going on, your favorite article of clothing, and now you're down in the grass at the wedding? It really was surreal, and you're just exactly right. I probably had about 10 of my partners that were there, and everybody that got a chance to witness it. But I think that it really takes some thought as kind of comprehending kind of how it all went down, and how I've seen hundreds of patients, if not 1,000 patients, pass out in front of my eyes. And most people, when they do pass out in this fashion, they don't feel well for hours, even days, or even up to a week. And here, the 86-year-old grandfather, he's back at the wedding within a few minutes. It really is just a testament to what practice can do, reset the system. To dive into why everybody should be under chiropractic care. And this is chapter 14 of my book, where the brain is attached to every single organ in the body, and every organ in the body is reattached to the brain. This is just simple anatomy that we've known for 2,000 years. And when there is dysfunction, when there is dysfunction of flow between brain and to the organs based on the flow in the cervical spine, the neurologic tone, and how things can get entrapped and impeded and locked in, just from daily life, and then the ability of chiropractic to reset the tone of the body, to relieve that vertebral subluxation, it truly is a miracle. It really is.
Well, just to give you a quick little personal testimony of mine in reference to chiropractic care, it was actually, we used to do something when I was in practice back in the military. We called it the cooking crack. And so what we would do is, I had a chiropractor friend who he and I would see a patient, this was in the military, so this was service related. I saw a lot of folks who would have like very acute muscle spasm to the point where, you'd be dealing with somebody who had almost like torticollis of their neck, where it was just completely twisted, if you will, or their lower back, they couldn't stand straight. So anyway, what we would do is I would get a little bit of medication on board just to calm them down a little bit. Sometimes we would use, really just nothing, and I would just start an IV, if you will, to help the person just relax and feel better. So I give them some fluid because, in the military, people love to be chronically dehydrated. But anyway, I would do that, and then the chiropractor would literally go and do his manipulations and stuff like that. And that's when I first got exposed really heavily to chiropractic care. And just a simple pain scale was sort of like what we were basing things on. They'd come in and they'd present with like an 8 or a 9 out of 10 pain. By the time they left the facility, they were walking normal and they're reporting like a 1 or a 2 out of 10 pain. And I mean, like, this was despite, thinking like all of these wonderful things about, like, I know all of these different pain medications and benzodiazepines and all these other medications that I could try. And really, honestly, we would be able to get some relief in less than a half hour. And so, personally.
And it really is just about how to get, how to get that relief as fast as possible with as little collateral damage if you will, to use military maybe terminology, you know, as far as, you know, if you can, I mean, it's not that we're, I'm anti-medicine. I'm certainly not anti-medicine.
Sure,
there's
sure,
a time and a place. There's an emergency room. There's trauma centers, right? If the, you know, guy in the military gets shot with a bullet, you know, you go to a trauma center. But that being said, part of the recovery process has to involve chiropractic. Always try the least toxic and the most natural things first. And if they don't work, and as you go down the line, then you may have to reach for more serious things. But for the most part, we can solve, you know, things just with our hands and just with common sense and
Absolutely.
Just with nature.
Yeah, I used to jokingly say to a lot of patients of mine, you know, imagine now that we've just warped back to the 1400s. You know, I didn't have the array of different medications and other things that I could use. And quite honestly, people just had to learn how to deal with it. And so they had to learn how to, like, allow the body that natural recovery time.
Yeah, and unfortunately, I think if you look at the 1400s, you know, especially, you know, 1400s London, 1400s Paris, those were just cesspools of disease. There was just pestilence. There was poor nutrition. There was, you know, whatever kind of environmental pollutants were going on at that time. No sanitation, dirty water. I mean, so that kind of environment. But if you were in the 1400s, and you were in rural areas, if you were in rural Ireland, if you were in not in the big city, yeah. I can only imagine your health was just extraordinary, where you're basically a hunter-gatherer living off the land. There'd be no, you know, there's no diabetes, there's no heart disease, there's no cancer, there is just pure vitality. And then, yeah, that's where a lot of the original, of course, you know, herbs and shrubs and spices that were found to be so medicinal were.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, I mean, like, I've been able to use a lot of what Dr. Wolfson portrays inside of his book to be able to, like, apply it to my own life. And, you know, I can sit here and be a walking testimony at, you know, chiropractic care mixed with natural health care in order to really be able to feel like, although I just turned 40, not even, gosh, what was it, a couple of months ago? I mean, I feel like I'm 18 years of age. I didn't even feel like this when I was very active in service. So I really appreciate it, Dr. Wolfson. Like I said, I'm going to try not to fanboy on you too bad. But
you got and happy belated birthday, man.
Well, thank you. Let's move on, if you wouldn't mind, to talking about more of like what's going on inside of your book, if that's okay. I love the progression of the chapters. I love how you know, you portray a lot of very common practice, if you will, that you will see in modern medicine. And once again, I feel just like you do about it's, we're blessed to have a lot of the different procedures that are life-saving. I mean, there's cardiologists right now as we speak that are saving lives. So it's wonderful to see that there's those procedures. But if you wouldn't mind, can you kind of take us through the evolution of the book? I loved how when you did that Keto Summit, if you guys haven't seen the Keto Summit, by the way, just Google Keto Summit and look for Dr. Wolfson's talk on there. I'll be happy to put a link in the podcast notes as well for you so you guys can check that out. But if you wouldn't mind, please take us through the evolution of how you researched this and sort of like, how did you know that you could portray this in such a way to be able to give this understanding the way that you do so well inside of your book?
Well, the book is, you know, once again, it's called The Paleo Cardiologist, and thank you for, you know, for how much, you know, you did in the book and how much it does mean, and hopefully a lot to, you know, to the tens of thousands that have the book. It's done very well. The purpose of the book was to give people an alternative to what they would normally go to their doctor with, and the doctor says, you have high cholesterol. Here's your pharmaceutical. Your blood pressure is high. Here's your pharmaceutical. You've got atrial fibrillation, abnormal heart rhythms. Here's your drugs or procedures. What I want to do is give people the best information. I want to. There's 300 references in the book about what I say and why I say it. So there are, you know, links into evidence-based practice. And I want people to understand that if they live the as close as they can to our Paleolithic ancestors, if they eat the foods of the Paleolithic ancestors, the more they follow the plan, the better off they will be. And if you do it 90%, it's better than 10, you know, than zero. And 10%, something is always better, striving to do better. But the purpose of the book is to tell people around the world that there is an alternative and there is a cause of why they have these cardiovascular issues. And doctors are terrible at prevention. We're not trained in prevention. We're not trained in nutrition, sleep, sunshine, evidence-based supplements, chiropractor. We're not trained in anything, chemical avoidance, toxin avoidance, yet it's all in the medical literature. So we need to get back the common sense into health and wellness. And that was the purpose of the book, to get the common sense into people's hands.
Awesome. And I mean, like, guys, it really is. I mean, for a geek like me who loves looking at evidence-based medicine, it's great to see all those references. And yes, I looked up probably quite a bit of them, because honestly, even my transition through physician assistant school, it was the same way. It was very interesting to see, like, you know, you show up and you want to be the superhero and you got to be a problem solver and you have to do this and this and this, and there's treatment plans and all that kind of stuff. But quite honestly, just empowering our patients to be able to understand that they have choices every single day, that really during our 20-minute conversation with them, a patient encounter, if you will, we can't be life-changing in that 20 to 30 minutes. You know, like, it's very difficult to see how we really only kind of barely scratch the surface at times. It's been revolutionizing to really empower people to be able to make these choices. And that's why I think that we're on this call today, is because we want people to understand that it really does begin with the basics. These are things that you can do every single day, make these positive choices in order to really implement these into your health for the betterment for yourself. If I can, let me switch gears on you really quick and let me ask you some questions about the Keto Summit that you just recently did. It was really nice to see you have to shift gears and discuss what I think is a spectrum, honestly, between the Paleolithic diet and then even the ketogenic diet. For those listeners that may not understand what I'm talking about, and I know Dr. Wolfson will speak about this a little bit more, the Paleolithic diet has a little bit of nuance that's different than the ketogenic diet. Ketogenic diets are going to be a little bit more so okay with things like dairy. Paleolithic diets, you pretty much want to avoid dairy. You don't want to be eating dairy because it can be considered an inflammatory food inside the body. There's also, with ketogenic, there's also this understanding of something called intermittent fasting, where you can do what is most typically what is called the 16-8 plan, which is you're actually fasting for 16 hours and eating for only a window of 8. And so I thought that it was beautiful that you were able to show that spectrum between the Paleolithic diet, and then you had a lot of really great evidence to show that these particular diets are in fact changing a lot of our blood markers, if you will, for these different disease states and things like that. Would you mind kind of elaborating on some of those things as well?
Yeah, you know, let me just take, I guess, an issue, you know, with what you said, just for clarity, as far as, you know, the keto people, so the people that are eating just high fat, high protein, and low carb, that is one methodology of, you know, I mean, you know, would put someone into ketosis, where you're using ketones for fuel as opposed to glucose for fuel. But the fasting part of it is certainly not the, you know, it's not owned, as you know, by the keto people. So there are fasting people that are vegan. There are fasting people that are high carb. I think there's a lot of similarity now, but, you know, a lot of the people that are on the keto bandwagon are also on the fasting bandwagon. Mm-hmm. And I think fasting can help anybody and everybody, no matter what diet program you follow and whether you go to 16-8 or you do a 24-hour fast. My favorite is a 36-hour fast where I eat on Saturday night and then nothing but water Sunday morning, Sunday afternoon, all, you know, Sunday evening. And then I wake up Monday morning with a greens drink. So that's a 36-hour fast. And I love doing that, because fast day on a Sunday, hopefully it's a day of relaxation. If you're not relaxing, if you're working, if you're busy with the family, if you're stressed out, it makes it really, really difficult. But as you mentioned, the whole spectrum of kind of, you know, paleo is, you know, it's funny when people call paleo a fad. Everything else is a fad. The word paleo means old stone age. It means prehistoric. So by definition, it is not a fad. It's something that our ancestors have done for millions of years. And, you know, the dairy component, you know, the dairy, I think raw dairy is okay on paleo, although it wasn't available to paleo peoples. We didn't go chasing after a camel and milk it. A camel would kill us if we tried to milk it, because it would be protecting its young. We wouldn't be anywhere near a camel. But the paleo idea is, once again, living like our hunter-gatherer ancestors, and that's how we're going to achieve our best results. But Frank, right, they never told us this in school or PA school. We just talked about reactive care, pills, and procedures.
That's exactly right. It's like there's a menu that you try to fit somebody into. There's like this, you know, big funnel is what it was described to by me when I was going through school, is that here's the thousands of diagnoses that might actually be a patient walking into your room, and you have to funnel them down to maybe a handful, two or three or something like that. And then based off of that, you have a treatment plan for that. So it's very problem solving, if you will, but it leaves a lot of, it leaves a lot to chance. There's one piece that I remember that over the, my own personal journey of moving toward holistic care, where, you know, it's the SOAP note that we all have to write as clinicians, but we really started looking at it as an SOAPP note. So I started really talking, if I could, if I had the time, because of course we're all pinched with patient encounter time, that that P, I would try to really develop that second P, which is prevention. And so I'd be trying to talk to them about different things like diet and exercise and getting good sleep and drinking non-toxic water and all of these different things. But anyway, I say all that because, you know, it's almost like maybe we can look at it where we flip it on its head and we can start with the prevention things first, and then actually start working our way through the different diagnoses that might be happening in order to sort of like support ourselves and find that nice marriage of East meets West philosophy of medicine. What do you think about that?
Yeah, no, I think that, you know, just like you said, you know, you, you're always in a hurry in the office to try and put that label on someone, to affix that label on someone and say, you've got, you know, you meet the criteria for eczema and you meet the criteria for ulcerative colitis, or you meet the criteria for congestive heart failure, as opposed to once again addressing what the cause may be. You know, you have a sunshine deficiency, you have an abnormal eating pattern, you have a lack of sleep, you have toxicity from environmental pollutants and chemicals and air pollution, stuff like that. So those are really the foundational things that we're trying to teach people as far as live your healthiest life. And then all those other labels, they start to fall away. It doesn't matter if you fit, you know, lupus or rheumatoid arthritis or Churg-Strauss or Wegener's granulomatosis. They're all just labels, but they're not telling us why. We have to get back to the why.
Absolutely. I think that there was actually this really interesting piece of data that that I saw. I can't remember if it came out of the American College of Sports Medicine or maybe just the American College of Preventative Medicine. But anyway, they did a very small study. I can't remember what the size of the cohort was. But it said, long story short, is that they surveyed the patients and said, you know, of your physicians or your physician assistants or whatever clinician you're seeing, how many of you believe that that person should be very knowledgeable about nutrition? And it shouldn't surprise anybody that 85% of respondents said, yes, my clinician should absolutely understand nutrition. Cool part about this particular kind of quick study, if you will, that they did was, and they asked the clinicians, how many of you have been formally trained in nutrition to where you feel like you can adequately address your patient's needs? Only 15% of respondents actually responded with saying yes, that they felt adequately trained. I just had the recent luxury of going to something here in the western side of the state called the Healthy Eating and Practice Conference, which actually, matter of fact, if you don't mind, I might want to throw your name into the hat to actually come over and speak at this event, because I think that you would probably love it and you can come see the mountains in Asheville. But anyway, this was where I got that data from. And so like there's a lot more clinicians like yourself that are starting to finally network and talk and realize that this is an actual issue that needs to be addressed. And so it's, excuse me, it's really reassuring and really refreshing that that people can actually look to somebody like Dr. Wolfson to be able to actually get that information and start taking charge of their health and not have to fall into this like cookie cutter, these are my diagnoses and therefore I have to live with these sorts of things. You know, so, all right. If we can, I want to put you on the spot, if I may, and we'll wrap up this call here momentarily. But what do you recommend? Now, before we say any of that, let me let you guys know about Dr. Wolfson's website, which is the Doctors Wolfson. And it, correct me if I'm wrong, it's a .com, right?
And then yes. And Doctors is abbreviated DRS, the Doctors Wolfson. .com. And that's where we're at, you know, social media. We're all over Facebook. And once again, just trying to put the great information out there, as you are, because you're not typically hearing this from your medical doctor. The medical doctor, as we said, doesn't have the time to teach you. They don't have the knowledge base to teach you. So Frank, when you made the comment about 15% of the clinicians said that they felt they were adequately trained in nutrition, that had to be postgraduate work. It was not during medical school. Harvard, you know, medical school has put out information saying that we spend, you know, less than 1% of our time getting nutritional training. And then obviously also is that not only do you have to be trained in it, but then you also have to be kind of seasoned in actually doing it. So it's one thing to have the knowledge, but it's another thing to actually do it and have the experience in trying to teach people, knowing what their pain points are, knowing what their issues are. If anybody takes anything from this call, Frank, I'd like to tell people, no matter what diet you follow, please make it organic. Get all of the chemicals out of your food. So if you're like, you know what, Sunday night is our ice cream night, then go get Strauss's free-range or ice cream. If chocolate's your thing, go get organic chocolate. If you drink coffee every morning, make sure it's organic. If you drink alcohol, make sure the red wine is organic. If it comes from the United States and it's not organic wine, you're just drinking on pesticides. Pesticides kill pests and they kill us. They get into our body. They get into our digestive tract. They kill off the good bacteria. They change the gut microbiome. So whatever you do, make it organic. That way you're keeping out the chemicals. You're keeping out the genetically modified foods. You're keeping out the pesticides. It makes a big difference.
Awesome. That was absolutely fantastic information. So on the Drs. Wilson, I know that you guys have also put together a couple of supplements and things like that that I just wanted to talk with you about, to really just what are your recommendations for different supplements that you think, or different ways that people need to start thinking about this stuff in order to be able to follow whatever diet they decide to end up following.
Well, you know, and supplements supplement the healthy lifestyle. So you're doing the foundational thing, hopefully organic paleo foods. You're getting sunshine as often as possible, getting morning, noon, and afternoon sun. You're going to sleep with the sundown, waking with the sunrise like our ancestors did for millions of years before Edison harnessed the electricity into a light bulb. You're trying to get the chemicals out of your life as much as possible. And here comes evidence-based supplements that could be helpful. So I guess specifically what I think everybody should be on, I think everybody should be on a quality multivitamin. Everybody should be on an omega-3 fish oil. Everybody should be on a probiotic. A lot of people need digestive enzymes. That's kind of foundational stuff. I love organic greens powders for blood pressure, circulation, erectile function. I love a product that we carry called Heartbeat. We've got our vessel support for the same purpose. Those go dual well together. Cholesterol stuff that I love is a product like berberine, our superfood, which is chlorella spirulina. And this all has evidence behind it, right? I've got all the stuff I talk about in the book. I talk about on the website. I talk about it on our sales pages. And I've seen it work. And then finally, when you go to supplements, you got to go to a company that you know that you can trust, that can make sure that if you're taking a capsule of berberine, there's berberine in there. Or if I sell my Heartbeat beetroot powder, how do you know that you're getting organic beetroot powder, beetroot juice powder, and beet green powder, as opposed to you're getting soybean flour with red number 40 dye and and high fructose corn syrup powder? I mean, how do you know? You have to know the manufacturer.
Well, that's and if you guys are interested, like I said, supplements, just like Dr. Wolfson said, just to, you know, reiterate, is that is in addition to. So like, you know, follow a great diet, make sure that you're getting organic wherever you possibly can, because we don't want to be ingesting those things. And if you could, you've been kind of touching around on it. Could you give us a quick rundown about your top 10 guidelines? I love seeing that slide about top things that we should be doing kind of every day in order to really have great health.
Yeah, you know, and sometimes people complain, Frank, and they're like, you know, they talk about the money. They talk, well, okay, I don't have the money for organic foods and free-range grass-fed meats and wild seafood. But I would encourage people, you know what, cut money from other places. Get a cheaper car, get a cheaper house, cheaper clothes. Cut from other places. You know, for women out there, getting their hair done, their nails done, dry clean clothes, things in the house that you don't need, candles, perfumes, lotions, Glade plugins, whatever. I mean, you know, cut from other areas. But in any case, sunshine is free. Sleep is, of course, free anywhere and everywhere and around the world. You know, sleep is free. So sunshine, sleep, keeping the chemicals out of their life as much as possible, making sure they're everything you bring into your house, is it natural or not? If not, don't bring it in. The organic paleo foods, chiropractic care, maybe if we're counting down number five, number six is the walk, stand, barefoot. getting outside, physical activity outside, hike, bike, get outside, even as cold as it is where you are, get all bundled up, leave, you know, your face, you know, skin exposed, let the sun shine, hopefully come into your eyes, even if it's cloudy outside, the light coming into your eyes works its magic as well. You know, trying to limit the electronic exposure, certainly at night, getting, you know, turning off the Wi-Fi at night, all those things really help to make a big difference. And then I love testing. I love doing the most advanced testing in the world, right, Frank? Because no matter what diet you follow, no matter what supplements plan you're on, how do you know how you're doing? You got to get tested. And there's some amazing blood tests to do that as well.
Yeah, and there's actually the last two chapters of your book I truly love, because that was really nice that you kind of summarized everything that you had spoke about in the previous chapters to just simply say these are the top 20 superfoods, and then these are the top 20, you know, recommended blood labs, if you will, in order to be able to really focus. So, like, you know, because personally with me, you know, cholesterol is always an issue with me, but whereas, you know, blood pressure or even the remote chance of diabetes is not there for me, but maybe we're have a person that is on this call who needs to know what their hemoglobin A1C is in order to figure out, like, you know, what is their blood sugar control really like? And so I loved how you have the both of those. The last one that you didn't say, and I'm not testing you by any means, was that on that keto summit, you grabbed your gigantic jug of water. And you were drinking it while you were doing the call. So I think that that would be number 10, right, is staying extremely well hydrated.
Yeah, hydration is very important. And thank you for reminding me that, you know, obviously drinking quality water is paramount. And, you know, so to get a good filtration system is very important. You know, we have a company that we recommend on our website, on our shop page that we use, we've used for years and love that. So, you know, even if you, all you did was reverse osmosis, you get all the chemicals out of the water, which is very important, and fluoride, chlorine, heavy metals, birth control pills, somebody else's statin drugs, you know, it just goes down into the water table. So even if you're on well water, you know, you're subject to the water that's collected from the environment to go into that well. And, 1,000 years ago, it would have been pure water, and now it's not. It's all loaded with chemicals, so we need to purify that water. And then the next thing that I really didn't touch on in the fasting summit, it's kind of new to me, is the whole idea of adding extra hydrogen in your water, or hydrogen gas tablets okay. to your water. So I've become a fan of that. I did a blog post where I talked about the benefits of hydrogen water, and then, of course, all the links to that as well in the literature from my podcast, a guy by the name of Rick LeBaron from the Multiple Hydrogen Institute, to get people interested and knowledgeable about hydrogen, how important it is. So, you know, that area is very important when it comes to the water as well. And then as far as the amount of water, there is some debate. And when you're not consuming a lot of salt, you may not be as thirsty. And the body makes its own water on its own. So in the body, you know, we breathe in oxygen, we breathe in air containing oxygen, and oxygen, of course, goes down to our blood cells, and oxygen combines with the hydrogen from food, and in the mitochondria makes cellular water. And that's actually the majority of our total water, basis there. But, yeah, whatever kind of water you're drinking, make it clean. I'm also a big fan of Pellegrino water. Pellegrino is the single best liquid source of sulfur. Sulfur is on the periodic table. Sulfur makes it, the amino acids that eventually form glutathione. And that's why onions are so beneficial. Garlic is so beneficial. Eggs are so beneficial. Brassica vegetables like broccoli, Brussels sprouts, kale and the like are very high in sulfur, but once again, so is Pellegrino water, and that's a delicious treat as well.
Yeah, to highlight glutathione, if it's the first time that you ever had heard that term, glutathione is easily the most important antioxidant that our body actually produces. And unfortunately, we're now finding out through some different studies that have been shown, there's different pharmaceuticals that even rob your body of that glutathione because they don't really understand how to actually, you know, get rid of these different types of chemically laden pharmaceuticals. Because once again, we're not necessarily saying that pharmaceuticals are bad. They have a place in medicine, absolutely. But just, you know, watching yourself in order to be able to try to do the natural things to be able to get your body conditioned to be in a more empowered way, if you will. You know, it's really nice to be able to do that. So I didn't know that about the sulfur. I really appreciate you sharing that, and that it actually is a part of that backbone of that glutathione molecule. That was really awesome.
Yeah, and the obviously something that is, you know, ubiquitous in society in the medicine cabinet, of course, is acetaminophen, otherwise known as Tylenol, and that destroys glutathione in the liver, and that's and it's so toxic to children. Yet children are fed Tylenol like candy, and the glutathione, as you mentioned, the glutathione is made in the liver from three different amino acids, and you put those amino acids together to make glutathione, and it's a decent sized molecule that contains nitrogen, carbon, hydrogen, and it also contains that sulfur group. And the sulfur of glutathione, those sulfur groups come together, for example, and bind on to metals like mercury, aluminum, arsenic, cadmium, and then therefore kind of that sandwich gets ushered out of the body. So you can also measure levels of glutathione, and that can be done from LabCorp, can be done from Quest, it can be done from specialty labs. And then you can also, some of these specialty labs will measure intracellular glutathione, because it's one thing that it's floating around the blood, but it is inside the blood cells working its magic, and that's what you got to test. And you may not know. You may think, as so many people have, they're like, oh, so-and-so had a massive heart attack. They were so healthy. They lived so healthy. Really? We don't know. I don't know how they lived. You don't know exactly how they lived. Maybe they were going home at night and shoving ding-dongs in their mouth. I mean, so, you know, who knows? And nobody knows how you are individually until you get tested. How do you know if you're getting enough sun exposure if you don't know your vitamin D levels? How do you know if you're getting enough magnesium if you don't know intracellular magnesium, glutathione? How do you know vitamin K and vitamin K2 goes into the cells and pulls out calcium, pulls out plaque and sticks it back up into the bones? How do you know if you're getting enough K2 if you don't test? So you got to get tested.
Wow, I think just two or three things that you just threw out there, the first time that I probably have actually heard those things. So I really appreciate you sharing that. And it was like, we're going to need to hang out more because like the fact that you're just, I don't know, just the wealth of information, Dr. Wolfson, is just incredible. And yes, I, you know, let me just also once again just say, super important, make sure that you speak with your clinician about these tests, because I didn't even realize until I read your book about, you know, this functional HDL versus just a value of HDL. I was always taught, you know, over 60 is great, it's cardioprotective and everything like that. But now knowing the type of HDL that's circulating in your blood is also important. Would you mind just, you know, kind of just deconstructing cholesterol, because it's such a topic, if you will, that will always come up in reference to overall health?
Yeah, of course. You know, the pharmaceutical companies have done a great job brainwashing the doc, brainwashing like, and vilifying cholesterol. But why, and I put this chapter one in my book because I want everyone to understand it because it's so important. Why does the body make cholesterol? Why does every animal on the planet make cholesterol? Why does an egg contain cholesterol? Why does human breast milk or giraffe milk and goat milk, why does it contain cholesterol? It's just a necessary thing for life, and without it, we're not alive. I mean, if you were to remove all the cholesterol from our bodies, we're dead. Cholesterol is part of the cell membrane, which, you know, surrounds every cell. Cholesterol makes up all of our sex hormones. Cholesterol makes up vitamin D. So, you know, the sun hits cholesterol in the skin, turns it into vitamin D. So if you have high cholesterol, get more sunshine, and then you lower the cholesterol, raise your vitamin D, and that's a good thing. Cholesterol is part of our digestion, of course. You know, another interesting tidbit, Frank, is because I'm so excited to impress you, my friend. Sure. The cholesterol is part of the cell membrane, and it forms a cholesterol rafts or a lipid raft. And think about it as a raft floating around a river, but it's floating around in your cell membrane, and that is used for communication with other cells, other molecules. The other thing that has proven to do, those lipid rafts made out of cholesterol, is that those are the areas where carbon dioxide, the byproduct of cellular metabolism, that carbon dioxide is able to diffuse out of the cell. So if those lipid rafts are not working, carbon dioxide builds up in the cell. The cells become acidotic. They don't function. They become cancerous, on and on and on. It's very interesting for that. But so cholesterol is super important. Okay, so now we understand cholesterol is important. Eating cholesterol is important. Having cholesterol is important. Finding your caveman cholesterol, if you will, that's what's important. LDL has a purpose. It's been called bad over the years to try and sell us pharmaceuticals. But every animal You know, every mammal on planet Earth makes LDL. We also make HDLs, and they have a purpose. So we want to have a good balance of good quality LDLs, good quality HDLs. And you mentioned before about HDL function. That's really, I think, the next big thing in natural and holistic cardiology is the ability to really get a good assessment of HDL function and make sure the HDL is floating around the body to do all the things that HDL does. And yes, it's a scavenger for cholesterol. And yes, it's anti-inflammatory, antioxidant. It's a large part of our immune system, as is LDL. HDL signals the pancreas to release insulin as necessary. HDL is a natural blood thinner. HDL does so many different things, as does LDL, and it's about that's why our body makes it, right? And it's about finding that balance. And we find that balance when we live the healthy lifestyle, as we've been talking about.
Absolutely awesome. Yeah, I did not even know that about the cholesterol wraps. That's pretty cool, because then you can even is there any input? Because I know that there are some studies out there in reference to cancer and sugar, that there may be a really direct correlation between the two of those. How does that sort of play around with the acidotic cell that may happen because of these cholesterol rafts? Is there any association there?
Well, I think, a couple things is that, when someone eats a high sugar diet, it leads to glycation of the proteins of the body. And when you can measure that, obviously, and that's glycohemoglobin, or glycated hemoglobin, otherwise known as hemoglobin A1C. And that hemoglobin A1C or glycohemoglobin is a measure of a damaged protein, the hemoglobin protein. So as our proteins accumulate more and more damage, as they're whether glycated or they're oxidized, they're changed, and therefore the protein doesn't function as well. And that protein can be a receptor on the cell to do things. It could be an enzyme. So now the body's just not working efficiently. And then when a cancerous cell forms, the immune system should go into attack mode and kill that. If we don't have a good immune system, if it's damaged from poor nutrition, environmental chemicals, poor lifestyle, you name it, then the body surveillance is bad. The immune system doesn't work, and now we get cancer. And once again, we're a high sugar diet, a high chemical diet, just damages the proteins, and the body doesn't function well.
Awesome. Well, I tell you what, I think before we just continue on this conversation for the next couple of hours with me just wanting to ask you so many more questions with everything that you shared, I think that I would just recommend to you guys that with the information that Dr. Wilson just described, hit that rewind button, and you're just going to have to replay that entire thing, because he just debunked what seemed to be two or three different issues, if you will, that have been known in medicine, or I should say have been known in our society for at least the past 5 to 6 decades. And so I can't thank you enough. Like I said, I'm trying not to fanboy again. It's like my third time saying this, but Dr. Wilson, I really appreciate it. Thank you so much for your valuable time. I know that you and your wife are constantly traveling. I see you guys doing lots of talks on the western side of the United States. Are you going to bless us with anything in the future with something come across country?
I don't know if there's going to be any kind of cross country, anything like that, but I'm going to be in New York at the Integrative Healthcare Symposium in February. That's going to be an amazing event. If you had a chance to get up there, Frank, that should be really good. There's some excellent speakers there as well.
Okay, so you're going to be in New York in February.
Frank, did you catch that?
I did, yes. I did. I'm here.
Yeah, New York in February.
Okay,
the Integrative Healthcare Symposium. And, but what I would tell people, overall, just some take-homes here is that, number one, find a holistic healthcare provider or a healthcare guru or a holistic health coach to help guide you along this path. That is the best recommendation I can give to you. And it's not, and when you are talking to your healthcare, provider, whoever it is, and they want to put you on a pharmaceutical, ask about the risks, ask about the benefits, and ask about the alternatives. Because take statin drugs, for example, in my wheelhouse of cardiology. It's not that statin drugs don't work according to their data. It's that statin drugs lower your risk of a heart attack from here to here. That's not good enough for any of us or our loved ones. We don't want the heart attack here down to here. We want a risk down to here. And we know the pharmaceutical companies cannot provide that. I think that we can.
Awesome. Absolutely awesome. And then you also have just recently started up a podcast. You want to give us a name for that as well?
Yeah, so the podcast is called The Healthy Heart Show. Right now, we're only on iTunes. We're going to be extending over to Android real soon. But The Healthy Heart Show, come check it out. We got some fantastic, fantastic guests, great information. And just like your podcast as well, Frank, it's just about empowering people to you know, just to give them the information, hopefully lead their best life.
Absolutely. So once again, Dr. Wolfson, thank you. Author of The Paleo Cardiologist. Please check him out on the drswolfson.com. And once again, that is doctors abbreviated DRS. So please make sure that you check him out as well. Really awesome website. Completely like super heroic and stuff like that. I love the photos that you guys have on the website, but please just make sure that you keep him earmarked. Dr. Wolfson, he's creating massive ripples around our great country and beyond because the information is there and we want to make sure that you're empowered for all. So Dr. Wolfson, thanks so much for joining us. This has just been absolutely wonderful.
I appreciate it, Frank. Thanks for having me on.
Of course. And everybody, you know, just take care. We're going to be bringing you lots of really great content. And like I said, just like and subscribe to Dr. Wolfson because he is providing some really great information for everyone. So take care, everybody. Have a great one.